Well, I invite you to look with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and beginning with verse 24. Here we have the parable of the wheat and the tares. And this portion comes in two parts. From verse 24 down to verse 40, we have the Lord giving the parable. And then from verse 36 to verse 43, we have the explanation of the parable. And again, remember, our Lord spoke in parables so that those that were his might have an understanding of the true work of God in the kingdom, and that those that are without would not. And here we have an example even of that division between the wheat and the tares. There are those in the world that are called the wheat. These are God's elect that he has chosen from eternity and for whom Christ came and paid their debt. But you also have those that are tares. In other words, they're not the children of God. They're the children of Satan, the children of darkness, and ever will be. You never read of a tare or a weed becoming wheat, nor do you ever read of wheat becoming a weed. But God has purposed that both be in the world. That's what we're seeing here in this parable. So let's begin reading in verse 24 down to verse 30. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way.
Verse 26,
but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? In verse 28, he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?
In verse
But he said, verse 29, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. In verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then in verse 31 down to verse 35, the Lord gives some other parables. But thankfully, here we have our Lord giving a clear explanation of what is the meaning of this parable of the wheat and the tares.
And
I'll read that from verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now our Lord had spoken other parables, but this one in particular caught their attention. And so he answered, verse 37, and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That would be Christ himself.
In
verse 38, he says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Ndipo mundawo ndiwo dziko lapansi, ndi mbewu yabwino ndiyo ana aufumuwo, ndina songolo ndiye ana auibawo.
You see, this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. But there are those two seeds, seed of the woman and seed of the serpent.
Ndetu ambesa makala nkula izizi kuzichosa mu zimene zinalembedwa kale kale mbuku la Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 pamena makala nkula za mbeu ya mkazi imene tizaponde pamutu pa njoka koma mwa munthu yo munali mbeu ya munthu yabwino ni mbeu yoipa.
The children of the kingdom then here are the seed of Christ, who is the seed of the woman. It represents those that God the Father gave to Christ from before time, and for whom Christ came into the world to save. And it says there, he that soweth the good seed in verse 37 is the Son of Man. So it speaks specifically to the work of Christ and him being that seed that when it was sown in the ground died, and when it came forth bore much fruit. That has to do with him saving every one of those that the Father gave him.
Ndetu apa akulankhula za wofesa mbewu yabwinoyo, kulankhula za Kristu Yesu amene anabwera ku dziko lapansi ndi kukapulumusa iwowo amene Atate anampasa iyeyo kuti awapulumuse.
But here's a clear demonstration that he didn't come into the world to save everybody. The parable shows us that there are those that are the children of the kingdom, that is those that Christ saved, and then there are the others, the rest, the tares, who are called the children of the wicked one, or Satan himself.
And verse 39
is very clear. The enemy that sowed them, that is the tares, or the children of the wicked one, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
Verse
40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, verse 41, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. This shows the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only over those that are his children, but over the world itself. Notice, they shall gather out of his kingdom, even though these tares and Satan himself are in this world working, yet they are under the kingship of Christ himself. They can't do one thing more or less than what he ordains. Let's remember that as we look around sometimes and we think that evil is gaining ground and that somehow things are out of control. They're not. Christ is on his throne. He rules and reigns and directs all things. It says here that in his time he'll send and gather out of his kingdom, verse 41, all things that offend and them which do iniquity. That represents sinners outside of Christ. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplished work for sinners, there are none that can say that they are good. They all offend, and they're all full of iniquity.
In
verse 42 says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The furnace of fire represents God's wrath, his justice in condemning sinners. I know people today are shocked when they hear this message. They think, well, what kind of God would do this to sinners? The answer is a holy God, one who must satisfy his justice. It was either satisfied for sinners in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or he must be satisfied in his justice in their condemnation forever. And how wicked are those that God condemns? So wicked that not even God's wrath poured out in hell will bring them to repentance. Repentance is the gift of God by His Spirit. That's the only way any can repent and do repent, by the Spirit of grace drawing them to Christ. But here in verse 42, when it says that those that are cast into this furnace of fire of God's wrath, it says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some read that to mean, well, then they'll regret that they did not believe on Christ, but that's not what that means. You remember in Acts 7 when Stephen had finished preaching that they ran on him and gnashed on him with their teeth. That is a term of anger, and that's what it describes here, that those that are cast in hell, they were rebels in this life, and they will continue to be rebels throughout eternity, wailing in the sense of anger toward God and gnashing their teeth in anger against such a God who would condemn them. There are people today that say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love God. They love the God of their imagination, but a sovereign God, a just God, one who condemns sinners, that kind of God, they do not know. In fact, they're angry against. And it says here in verse 43, then to conclude the explanation, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who are the righteous? They're those that have been declared righteous through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on their behalf. They are the children of the kingdom that are mentioned in verse
38.
So a pretty simple parable given here, but very profound. Now, in this parable of the wheat and the tares, we see that the image changes slightly from the parable of the soils that we looked at last time.
Deno mukamaona fanizo lati ligundina nsongole mukoza kuona kuti likungosiyana tupa ngono ndi fanizo la ofesa limene timaliona nthawi ya kumbuyo.
In the parable of the soils, the seed represented the word of God. And the effects that God has purposed for that word in the hearts of his children. But here in this parable of the wheat and the tares, the seed represents the children of the kingdom, as it says in verse 38, or the true children of God. So here the point of this parable is completely different than that of the parable of the soils. In the parable of the soils, it shows how men receive and respond to the word of God as it is sown. Here in the parable of the wheat and the tares, it shows how God will divide his true people from all false professors in the world all the way up until the end of the age. So here we see an important point, even for us as preachers, that God has not purposed his gospel or his word to have an effect in everybody's life as far as believing on Christ. There are those that God has purposed should believe, and those are represented here as those for whom Christ came into the world. But we have to acknowledge that wherever there is wheat and we see God doing his work, we must anticipate that there will also be tares. Anybody that is a farmer that has plowed the field and sown the seed knows this to be true. No sooner does a farmer sow the seed that when time goes by, here come the tares up from that very same ground in which the seed was sown. And here's the point of this particular parable when it says in verse 25 that while men slept, so the seed has been sown and now they're resting and waiting for the seed to bring forth fruit, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, as preachers, we should not be surprised then that as we preach the gospel of Christ, that the enemy comes and sows tares alongside. It was so with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, in verse 24, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." That man was Christ himself. The world is his field.
Monga mena magala nkulira mu Mega 24 kunena kuti fanizo iye ana wafotokozere wanaina ufumu wa kumwamba ufanizidwa ndi munthu amene anafesa mbeu zabwino mmunda mwache munthu wabwino kuti amakani na iye Kristu iyo ndipo munda wa makala nkulira dziko lapansi.
There's no question that this parable has to do with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. Again, we see that in the explanation that Christ gave in verse 37, when he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." That's Christ himself.
Monga mmene anakaionesera sobwino mu Mega 37 kuti ndipo iye anayankhana ati wofesa mbewu yabwino ndiye mwana wa munthu kunena kuti ndiye Kristu mwini wache.
And it's very clear here that the enemy is none other than Satan himself. So you have Satan pitting himself against the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ndipo asinikiza bwino kunena kuti ndipo munthu mdaniyo ndiye Satana kusenza kuti Satana amaima nthawi zonse kutsutsana ndi Kristu.
You may ask, well, what is Satan's purpose then in sowing tares among the wheat that Christ has sown? The simple answer is that from the beginning of his existence, Satan has always opposed Christ. Back in Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 through 15, we have in Scripture the description of what took place even before the creation of the world when Lucifer, because Satan was originally an angel that God had created, and yet he rebelled.
Here in verse 12
of Isaiah 14, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" "For thou hast said in thine heart," verse 13, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north."
Ndipo iwe unati mtima mwako ndizakwera kumwamba ndizakweza mpando wanga wachifumu pamwamba panyenyezi za Mulungu ndizakhala pamwamba paphiri la khamu malekezero akumpoto.
"I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God."
Ndizakwera pamwamba pamitambo ndizafanana ndi wamwamba mwamba.
Now remember who's speaking here. This is none other than Christ himself. And this opposition of Satan was from the beginning against Christ. That's what the word antichrist means. But here's the response of Christ: "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." So while Satan's purpose has been from the beginning to destroy Christ and his work, just like he would destroy the wheat, yet he cannot. We know that when God created the world, that this very same Satan who had been cast out of heaven tempted Adam and Eve and thought to be able to pervert the work and destroy the work of Christ, but he could not, even in the fall. Notice in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 how the Lord himself made this divide from the beginning. Some think that when Satan tempted Adam and Eve and they fell, that somehow God's plan now was thwarted. It wasn't. Remember, just like in the parable, the kingdom is the world, and Christ rules and reigns over this world. But here's what he said to Satan and to Adam and Eve, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So even here in the parable of the wheat and the tares, that enmity of Satan against the wheat, here it says, I will put that enmity there. God is the one who established this enmity, but in the end, his son would always come forth glorious. Satan is described here as bruising his heel, and certainly, like a snake, strikes out against Christ in every way. Even when Christ was crucified on the cross, Satan's thinking was that now he had defeated the very Son of God, and yet God had purposed that through that death, he would save that people that he had given to his son for whom he came into the world. So while Satan was striking the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, even through the betrayal of Judas, it says that Judas lifted up his heel against the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, Christ himself, all the while, was crushing the head of Satan. Ask yourself, where is the venom in a snake? It's in its head. That's why when you kill a snake, you lop off its head. This is what Christ did to Satan for those that the Father had given him. He defeated him at the cross. He laid down his life and paid the sin debt that God might be just to justify them. Satan could no longer hold them.
Anagonjesa ukali kapena mutu wa satana ukapachikidwa pa mtanda kuti akapotetezere iwo amene ali ake kuti asakaonongekenso.
So coming back here to our parable of the wheat and the tares, let me just draw some conclusions. Here in this parable, it clearly describes not only the work of Christ in the world that represents his people, but also the corrupting influence of Satan himself sowing tares in the world. Now, the first thought here in verse 28 of the servants was that they should get up then and go and try to tear up the tares, gather up the tares, weed them out. But here the Lord clearly said in verse 29, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." That's the thing about tares. When you first sow the seed and the tares start to grow up, at first they both look the same, don't they? One of the first jobs I had back when I was in high school, I wanted to earn some money, so this lady hired me to go weed her flower garden. When I was back in school, in high school, years ago, I wanted to make some extra money, and so a woman hired me to go weed her flower garden. She had just had some new flowers planted, and what she wanted me to do was weed around the flowers. So I got down on my knees. So while I was down on my knees weeding what I thought were the weeds, actually I was pulling up the flowers. So she came running out the door and she said, "Stop, stop, you're pulling up the flowers." I didn't know any different. Needless to say, she fired me because I didn't know what I was doing. So this is why the Lord said here to the servants not to go out and try to gather up the tares, lest, he says in verse 29, ye root up also the wheat with them. Here the point is that only the Lord knows those that are his. Even while he was in the world doing his work, he knew the difference between those that were wheat and those that were tares. He did not spend his time attempting to convert the tares into wheat. That's not why he came. He came uniquely to sow the seed whereby that wheat should grow and that those would represent his people. So here's where we see where this parable powerfully teaches us that it is God's work to divide in judgment. Remember, in verse 38, the field here is the world. So while there are those in the world that are God's true people, called here the sons of the kingdom, we recognize that the world is full also of false believers and unbelievers. Like the tares that grow next to the wheat, they may look like they are sons of the kingdom, but ultimately it's a false faith. But one thing is clear from this parable is that we today are not to be going out and trying to figure out who is and who isn't. We're to declare the work of Christ. He will do his work. So as preachers, we're not to go out and try to figure out who are the Lord's and who aren't. We're simply to declare Christ and his finished work, and Christ will do his work. And God has purposed that it be that way all the way up till the end of time. At the end of time, as it says there in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into the furnace of fire. That's God's work to do. But the glorious good news is summed up there in verse 43, that the wheat, those that are the Lord's, for whom he paid the sin debt, called the righteous, they shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There's not one person that is wheat that will ever fail. Christ will have every one for whom he paid the debt. And the Lord will bring into his barn, that is glory, sinners from every rank of society, from every tribe, nation, and tongue that God the Father gave him, from every age until the end of the world. Each one the Lord will have, and not one will perish.
And
What a very encouraging parable this is for us to know that Christ came to do his work and he has done it. And he will have everyone for whom he died, regardless of how Satan himself opposes. Satan cannot win.
I meet the settlement plan that due to network problem.
How encouraging it is for us to know that Christ will have everyone for whom he died. And that in spite of Satan's opposition, which Christ himself has purposed, he cannot keep Christ from gathering everyone for whom he paid the debt. How encouraging it is then to know that Christ is going to have everyone for whom he paid the debt and that Satan cannot hinder him. Okay, we'll stop there.